Welcome to Politics Done Right. My name is Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for being here with us. Good morning, Houston. Good morning, Harris County. Good morning to the great state of Texas. Good morning to the United States of America. Good morning to the rest of the world. Good morning to every nook and cranny served by our 100,000 watt transmitter, whether that be Northeast Texas, Southeast Texas, Southwest Louisiana, Northwest Louisiana. Folks, we are going to have a great show for you today. How are my peeps doing? I trust everybody had a good night's sleep. Well, I got a good 3 hours of sleep. So you know what? It's a good night. That's not too bad of a night. Anyhow, before we get started with today's show, let's go ahead and say, buenos dias, mis amigos, mis hermanos favoritos, my good brothers, my geniuses, the ones keeping the tin strings, tin cans and strings together in the studio on Caroline. How are you doing, my friends?
Now we're going to see how well you do on 3 hours worth of sleep. Should be a very entertaining show. Wow, we're doing okay. The tin cans and string are holding up. We're doing all right. And I don't have a rant, but I am saying that I have been following the Trump trials. Trump derangement syndrome has struck in here again. And we're just looking at him going, yep, okay, you're sitting behind there. Trump is making history again by being the first president or ex-president to face criminal charges. So yes. He's basically getting what's been coming to him for a very long time. This is just the beginning of it all. We'll see how this goes. He's standing out there addressing the cameras out of the, this is just a scam. This is no good. No, it isn't, because scams don't go that far. If you want to see the scam, you're looking at it on TV. He's the one who scammed all those people out of money. In the Stormy Daniels case, I think it's really probably one of the weakest cases against him, but it may stick. And that's what you want. Because this guy, he's been scamming people for years and years and years, decades. And perhaps possibly the worst thing that he ever did was become president, to run for president. Because he could have grifted his way into grifter heaven in New York had he not done this. So we'll see what happens.
He never expected to win. He never expected he would win. And when
I didn't either.
Nobody did, you know. Well, you know, I mean, I.
Well, he had kind of a weak candidate running against him.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I had written a piece about him triangulating Hillary back in 2016 early, and I got slaughtered because I actually gave the possibility that, hey, you know, he could win because he's triangulating, and hey, you know. But the thing about it is, you're right, this guy complains about people scamming him or that it's a scam. I don't know why reporters don't shout out, wasn't Trump University a scam? Wasn't when you took the money from the charity to buy that headpiece a scam? Wasn't, you know, I mean, then not paying the people at the Bellagio, wasn't that a scam? I mean, we could go on and on and on, and the reporters don't do it. And in fact, we're going to kind of talk a little bit about how the news is reported and the effects it have on people. But it is, you're absolutely right, man. You're absolutely right. But Señor Jack, ¿qué pasó?
Good morning, Egberto.
Good morning, sir.
Well, I'm writing on the media today. You can't trust Main Street media. Or can you trust mainstream media? Not no, but hell no. They continue to mislead the public, this time by spinning positive jobs reports as negative. Just goes to show you how deceptive right-wing corporate media is. The propaganda they spew out is written to mislead the public or lead their own constituents. Remember, media speaketh with corporate tongue.
Yes, and the corporate tongue has a big old fork in it.
That's the play on it.
I could go on about, you know, corporate media, because I was, you know, I worked for iHeart for 21 years, even before it was iHeart. Mm-hmm. And I saw some of the stuff they were doing back there. I thought, you know, this just isn't right. But what am I going to do about it? It's a paycheck. So anyway, I'm here now.
You're here. But you know what? That my selfish being says, I am glad for whatever treatment you got in the past, because that gave us the honor of having you. So you know what? Hey, you know, we, at KPFT, we can try to make up for whatever they did to you, but we got you.
Well, I can tell you this. It's already been made up in spades. They just wouldn't promote me. They wouldn't give me raises. They wouldn't recognize anything that I did. It was kind of like, okay, you're a cog. We're going to grind you down into bits until we replace you with another cog. Never mind the fact that, you know, I saved them probably millions of dollars over the years by investigating all these missing commercials that we'd have every day and doing the extra mile and going the extra mile and being reliable. Here, I have managed to, I managed to work pretty much unabated on what I want to do. And it's just a lot of fun here.
And keep this station on air, man. You did what they have an army of people doing out there. You did.
There's only one.
They have an army, and you know, so hey, yeah.
There's only one thing that I would like: better tin cans and better string.
Hey, you know, our fun drive is coming. Hey, guys. Our fun drive is coming up in May, the middle of May sometime. Don't run away from us when that fun drive comes. Instead, because by the way, on the Politics on the Right show, we are going to be doing programs anyway as we pitch. So don't run away when that fun drive comes. And I guess it's in 3 or 4 weeks. You know, stick around and we're going to talk. We're going to keep talking the talk that we have as we are asking you support us. But you know what? This is what, you know, what Howard just talked about, and you wish we had better equipment. You know, if we had a better equipment, a lot of the ins and outs that we get every so often, you know, we could kind of mitigate a lot of that. But, you know, we work on a very meager budget, so don't forget that. Anyway, welcome and good morning. Alistair Waters is in the house on the chat. Good morning, my sister. But anyhow, anything else you want to say before I start, either Jack or Howard?
No, we're good.
All right. Anyway, folks, Jack started it. Jack went ahead and he said, you know, we had a job report. I got a video piece that I want to show, but I'm not going to show it now because I don't want to run into too much time, et cetera. But for all the people that are still struggling financially, which is about 60% of Americans, that is better than the 80% of Americans that were struggling under Trump. That is still horrendous. That is still bad, especially in an economy that's growing as well as it is right now, and that the economy is doing. If you just look at the numbers, the economy is doing fine, but your personal economy may not be doing fine. 60% of your personal economy, of people have a personal economy that has them, a paycheck away from financial trouble. Good morning, Liz Townsend from Houston. So yes, I do understand that as these great numbers come out, the individual basis, America is a big country. 40% of people doing well is great. 51% of people or more say that they're doing very well. They think things are getting better. But again, in the aggregate, we know that 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. And again, that is 20% less than it was under Donald Trump. But if people continue to say things like, why are Trump's numbers so good relative to Biden and Biden so bad? And they don't want to cop to the real issue, and that is reporting. When we report, not when we, because we report the news accurately. When the mainstream media report the news, they do two things. Sensationalism or a narrative, a corporate-driven narrative. And I'm going to explain that in a minute. But remember, we're talking about the media and what it does. I want to have the time to say this straightly. So since Harry's already on, I'll let Harry talk, and then I'll come back to the subject. So come on in, Brother Harry, and then I'll tell my narrative. Harry, you're on.
I'll be looking forward to listening to you when my call's over about your narrative. But I wanted to call because from yesterday, because this, you know, when I don't call, you know, because you have, and I said this, I think, a couple of weeks ago on this show, because you have thinkers on this show, when you have people like the mayor of politics done right, when you have Spike, when you have Augie, when those guys call up and talk a lot of sensible stuff, you know, it gets me to thinking, and you yourself, Roberto, when you were talking about oil and Israel and our oil economy, it, you know, and you, how you break these things down. And then I'm able to go and talk with my brother, Alan, about these things. What I want to do is I want to comment first on Mike is right. He said it many times about how the United States interest is that Suez Canal. That's their main interest in that, and that's why they want to keep things the way they are, where they want to protect Israel, and so that they can, Spike was talking about, ship those products out of there, and they don't want any of those other surrounding countries controlling that, because then they'd have to pay more using that Suez Canal. Now I'll comment on what Augie said. What Augie was talking about, the oil in Oklahoma, they're doing a movie about that, or they did one last year, Martin Scorsese, but he was talking about the Osage tribe. When white men, or what I say, melanin deficient men, married the Osage women so they could get those oil deposits. And then when I was talking about going over this with my brother Alan yesterday, when we were talking about it, so that they could then dismiss the Osage women, and then they get control after marrying them of those oil deposits. So, you know, that's very enlightening. And then I'll talk about Israel a little bit. When Augie talked about, and I think Spike mentioned the Ethiopian Jews, how they didn't want them. And Augie talked about the Ethiopian Jews, how they didn't want them. Now there's another, my brother was telling me about the Lima Jews in Botswana. They didn't want those Jews in Israel because, well, the one thing I'm going to add to what Augie and Spike were saying is because they don't want to blacken the state of Israel, because it's about, you know, that's also about breeding. And if you include those Jews from Africa, then you're going to blacken the country. And the Ashkenazic Jews who came there and converted to Judaism, that's what they're worried about. And so you go in, and then you get into what was the other comment I was going to make? Get into when you were talking about anti-Semitism. Well, I was looking that up. Jane called, who explained this once on Steve Hunter's show. She was talking about the languages. When you talk about anti-Semitism, there's Aramaic language, there's Afro-Asiatic language, there's Hebrew language, and there's Arabic language. So when we talk about anti-Semitism, we're talking about the Semitism and Semitism. We're talking about languages and signs when you talk about that. Really, what people are saying when they push back what Israel has been doing to the Judean people, they're talking about the Zionists, and I mentioned that on Steve's show. I'm anti-Netanyahu. I'm anti-Zionist. I was anti-Amir, and I'm anti-Ariel Sharon. You know, these Zionist thugs who have ripped and stole the Judean people's land. And I'll have to give it to Captain Reynolds. He mentioned on one of your shows, I think a few weeks ago, these people have the right to exist. And I've heard other people mention these kinds of things when they think it's their divine right to just run over those people and either push them out to Jordan or Egypt or Lebanon, so they can steal their land and the natural gas fields.
Thank you, Harry. Okay, Harry, I think I gave you a whole lot of time to really tell you what you needed to say. You hadn't gotten a chance to talk in a few days, so wanted to make sure that you have your peace and it's a regular. Thank you, my brother. We'll talk another time, okay? Thank you, bro. Let's go to, I wanted to get started on my media thing, but I'll pick up Joe and we'll do it after Joe. Come on in, brother Joe.
Hey, Berto, just give me something to look. On the bus.
Good I'm morning, great. My brother. You? I'm fine. Talk to me. Good I haven't morning, heard man. From you in a while either.
I've been on the road traveling and visiting other places and talking to other people. And you know, and I wear my MAGA hat wherever I go. And you know, someone for the first time asked me if I get negative responses from this hat. And I never have. And actually every time, every place I go wearing this thing, I get thumbs up, I get patted on the shoulder, I get nothing but positive reactions from folks, right? And because people see through the lies, right? And just one lie in exit, for example, somebody mentioned the jobs report this morning, right? Well, if you take a look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, right, that's probably the report you're talking about, like the household report. that's one report. Never mind that, you know, the number comes out and it looks really good. For the next two or three quarters, they're going to be restating that number and revising it downwards, just like they did a year ago when the jobs report was great. It came out. They revise downward every quarter after that, okay, as reality sets in.
I just need to interrupt for one quick second. And that is inaccurate. The job reports over the last several months have been revised up. Okay, a lot of them have been revised up. Yes, some have been revised downward, but a lot of them, in fact, I think it's most, have been revised up. Just want to make that correction. Continue, my friend.
No. They're revised down.
Sorry, that was Joe. Look, I don't mean to be. I don't want to interrupt you a lot. I really don't want to. But we have to be accurate when we're speaking. And I'm not. I didn't ask you if they were revised up. I'm telling you they were. So continue, please, my friend. Continue with your narrative.
So it's my narrative, man. You know, one of these days I'm gonna call you 12 times with my 12 part series on the hypocrisy of the progressive mind. Please, I don't have time today.
But you're always welcome, sir. Go ahead, continue.
But ADT has the payrolls report, right? It's a private company. There's another economic institute that has another collection of reports that are valuable. And really what they're showing is the GDP has gone up, let's say $1 billion, right? I think it was, I forget what it was. It went up quite a bit, but we had to, but there was a deficit of $1.5 billion. So it cost us $1.50 in debt to raise the GDP $1. And furthermore, those new jobs that were created were part-time jobs. Which is what happens when you're in a bad spot economically. People start getting part-time jobs. And lastly, there were a lot of illegal immigrant jobs posted in the last quarter. So really, there's nothing really rosy about the economic picture, from my view. You know, and everybody thinks they're right, and you think you're right, but.
No. You know, I mean, let me just say, look, I mean, let me tell you how you get a good discussion, Joe, when you don't try to color the numbers. Look, I can look at Trump, what the things that have happened under Trump, and say this was a good thing that happened under Trump. Whether it's Trump who did it or not, that's not the discussion. But the numbers say that XYZ occurred and it was good under Trump. Likewise, one should be able to say all the things that happened positively under the Biden administration. And I'm saying, for the things that I hold and I cherish, I am not a Biden fan, but I just look at the numbers. And also, I think Biden Biden's type of economy for the average American citizen has provably worked better. Again, if you had 80% of people living paycheck to paycheck during the Trump administration, and you have 60% of people living to paycheck to paycheck, and not a good number, but it's still better than it was under Trump. If you take a look at the actual deficit created by Trump, not only because of, and Nikki Haley said it, not only because of COVID, if you look at those numbers, his spending was reckless. I mean, and what I'm saying is, I'm not trying to change you from loving your guy. I'm just saying, let's look at the numbers. I can criticize Biden for his Israeli policy. And I can say that, you know, it's terrible. When we, Joe, start to just look at the numbers and speak the same language from a fact point of view, we can do well. My problem with some of what you say, my friend, is that you have a tendency to have a love without regards for Brother Trump. And I think it is a danger to truth when we do things like that. That's all. But Joe, I got to go to Spike. And we'll keep talking. You keep calling. You know you have a platform here. I allow you to say what you need to say. All right.
Thanks, Egberto. Have a beautiful day.
You too, my friend. All right. It looks like I'm not going to get to my story until a few minutes from now because I'm going to speak to Spike. Come on in, Spike.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I am doing fine, my brother.
Hey, you know, man, this was, I know, back in the 70s when I, you know, early 70s when I first started hearing about this, you know, about America giving Israel $3.3 billion a year, you know. Now, you know, and I was thinking, man, all the poor people in this country, and I'm coming up to right now. And they've been giving them that much money every year. And like I say, I heard it back in the 70s, and it's every year. And you know, and I'm looking at all the poor people in this country, now all the homeless people, but they can give another country, state rather, $3.3 billion and don't care about what's going on right here. And then, you know, I did a little further research, and I, you know, why are they giving them $3.3 billion? And you know what I came up with? They give them $3.3 billion so they can purchase U.S. military weapons. What in the, what's going on? Man, I know
let
a lot
spike.
Of people.
Let me just say a little bit about the $3.3 billion. It's not only Israel that gets that money, it's also Egypt. And that came from the treaty that they signed to open up the door for peace between Egypt and Israel. So we paid for that peace by promising to give each side a few billion dollars. And let me just say one other thing. I'm not going to go into the spending on that immediately, right? Because I hate the idea that, you know, even the money that's going to Ukraine, that they're trying to get to Taiwan, that they're trying to get to Israel. It's money, it's our money, the taxpayer money, that is going to be going right back to the defense industrial complex. Right. In other words, when they say we're giving this money to Israel, or we're giving this money to Ukraine, or we're giving this money to Taiwan in the defense, the new bill that they're trying to pass, for everybody listening here, they're not giving these monies specifically to the foreign government just as is. It's going into the defense industrial complex to buy them arms and all these sort of things. In other words, American companies. And that what it really is a transfer of wealth from you and me, meaning our audience, or all of us, to the executives and shareholders of Raytheon and all these other military companies, okay? It's just taking our tax dollars. You know what drug dealers do? Drug dealers do something called they clean money. They go ahead and use restaurants to clean money so that they can then make that money legal. That's what defense industrial complexes do to take our tax dollars and enrich themselves. They take that money. They say, oh, Israel needs money. Oh, Ukraine need money. Oh, all these, we're going to send, you know, it looks like it's foreign gifts that's going out there. It is just coming right back to the United States. And you know what you said, Spike? You realize it's to buy arms. Okay. But here's a kicker. Let's leave that there, that we still go ahead and give these people monies for whatever purposes. There is absolutely no reason, Spike, we should have homeless people on the street. I don't care how degenerate we think they are. There's no reason for us to have poverty. It is our system. It's our system that depends on these things. And there's a deeper discussion to have there, right? Our system demands that we don't provide a lot of these services because it is here to maximize the wealth of the few. And it sounds callous and it sounds like, you're just, you know, that's not what it really is. I'm saying that is what it really is. Look, I have never, ever lacked being able to come up or create money, that which is what we do. We have never had a problem creating money to fight wars. Never, ever. You know that little barrage that you saw on the weekend with just about every single missile or drone from Iran being knocked out of the sky? Every single rocket that you see fly up to kill one of those rockets from the Patriot missile cost us $4 million. Every single one. We probably sent, 500 rockets to kill those 300 drones and rockets. So multiply that on average. All of them wasn't Patriot missiles. Some were from the Iron Dome and some other systems. The Patriot, I think, is the highest priced one at $4 million. But we don't have problems replenishing those missiles. And nobody talks about it costing $4 million, even though that's not what it really costs. That's what the defense industrial complex charges we, the people, the American people, for President Biden to give the missiles to these guys to do these things. So the argument isn't, Spike, about the foreign aid, because it's less than, I think it's like 2% or something we give in foreign aid. The question is, why do we have an economic system that allows the poverty, that allows the paycheck to paycheck that we have here, when we can always find monies for the things we claim are important, which is then telling us our system doesn't care that many of us are poor, that many of us are homeless. Continue, brother, and then I'll try to go on to my other subject.
Okay, and that what you said, and my reason for believing, the reason they do that is to keep the poor down at the bottom so they can continue to stay in control. And that and the reason I was saying about the 3.3 billion, it goes just what I was saying. America, they created Israel and they said if it wouldn't have been there, it would have been somewhere else, but it wouldn't have been nowhere else. They created it just where they wanted to, just like I be saying, to build that Suez Canal and rape that continent of its wealth. And $3 billion to Egypt. That's when they turned.
You know what is so interesting of what you're saying? Brother Spike, two things can be true at one time and not mutually exclusive, right? It's interesting that you said, you know, Biden did say that. Biden, on the floor of the Senate when he was a senator, said, if there wasn't an Israel, we would have had to create an Israel. And look at the context of that discussion, of that speech, because he's right. Israel is our controlling interest in the Middle East. Okay. But here's the kicker, right? Why I said two things can be the same. We have our Jewish brothers and sisters who want a homeland, right? You shouldn't be doing it on the backs of others, but our Jewish brothers and sisters want a homeland. And America's corporate structure, America's corporate structure say, hey, guess what? We can merge those two and fulfill our interests. Israel would always have the support from America because Israel is not only doing the job of that homeland for Jews, you know, based on things they have in the Bible, or in that case,
one little thing I need to say, man.
Go ahead.
One little thing I need to say. Why do we all, and it's not me, you know, why do they call that the Middle East when it's Africa? Why do they call it the
Well, you and I know that Africa has a connotation of negativity, and which is a false it's a false connotation, of course. But I mean, it is funny because when a lot of Americans go to Nairobi or they go to I don't want to use Johannesburg because Johannesburg is really a European city. But when we go to a lot of different places, they're like, oh, my God, I didn't know this is Africa. I thought Africa was just a bunch of lions and critters.
Thank you. That's right.
There's a lot. There's a lot to speak about. Spike, let's do this. Let's continue talking another time. But I want to tell you this before you go.
I know.
Let's remember this.
Okay.
A lot of what people say and believe is simply based on what they know. And it's incumbent upon you and me and others who are in the know to hold the hands of our brothers and sisters and bring them along, realizing that it's not their fault that the things that they know. Inherently, we have a system that promotes the uneducation of people, because an educated person is so powerful in making the right choices, not only for America, but for the world. So, you know, and they depend on us fighting each other. So let's stop that and let's together lift people up. Anything else you want to say before I jump to my subject for today?
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day. All right. And this kind of jumps into both what Jack had to say and what Brother Spike had to say, what Brother Howard had to say. Okay, but here's the deal. The New York, like I said, a lot of the jobs report and the information that we get is based on our lousy media and how they report things. It is true that part of what Joe said, that jobs sometimes are, you know, brought down, the estimate is brought down, but just as much the estimate a lot of times are taken up as well. But in the aggregate, the jobs report has been good. The way the media spins it, as soon as they say the jobs go up, they have a negative narrative. But because the jobs report is up, now guess what has to happen? We can't reduce the interest rates that the feds are charging. So look at how they coax that jobs report so that it doesn't seem like a good thing that it's supposed to be. Oh, because the jobs report is strong, we have to keep interest rates high. And why do we have to keep the interest rates high? Because if the jobs report is strong, it means the economy is doing well. If we go ahead and put more money into the economy, it's going to overheat and the corporations are going to increase the corporate greed rate, the inflation rate. It's all a bad narrative. Let me tell you what the narrative should have been. The narrative should have been, great jobs report. Great jobs report. Okay, I told you all the negatives ahead, but they should never include, and interest rates have to stay high because the jobs report was good. They should have said, and interest rates now need to come down. The corporations need to stop overcharging Americans now that they have all this land of plenty. So many people are there ready to spend money, and because there are no shortages, these corporations can still make a great profit and not raise prices. And we can stop charging the American people a lot of money for bankers by reducing the interest rates. But you'll never hear that on TV. You'll never hear the true economic picture on TV from our media. And that is because of reporting and many a times what they are told to report. Now, the New York Times, in reporting on Israel, a leaked document just showed up and it said, the New York Times instructed journalists concerning Israel's war on the Gaza Strip to restrict the use of terms genocide, ethnic cleansing, and to avoid using phrase occupied territory when describing Palestinian land, according to a copy of an internal memo obtained by The Intercept. The memo also instructs reporters not to use the word Palestine, except in very rare cases, and to steer clear of the term refugee camps to describe areas of Gaza historically settled by displaced Palestinians expelled from other parts of Palestine during the previous Israeli-Arab wars. The areas are recognized by the United Nations as refugee camps and house hundreds of thousands of registered refugees. The memo written by Time Standards editor Susan Wisling, international editor Philip Penn, and their deputies offers guidance about some terms and other issues we have grappled with since the start of the conflict in October. While the document is presented as an outline for maintaining objective journalistic principles in reporting on the Gaza war, several Time staffers told The Intercept that some of the content show evidence of the paper's deference to Israeli narratives. I think it's kind of a thing that looks professional and logical if you have no knowledge of the historical context of the Palestine-Israeli conflict, as said a Times Newsroom source who requested anonymity for fear of reprisal of the Gaza memo. But if you do know, it will be clear how apologetic it is to Israel. And I think that that guy was wrong. It's not apologetic to Israel. It's a lie. It is a lie. They're asking the news, the New York Times, to lie to you. Is it a genocide by definition? Yes. Is it a massacre? Yes. Are a lot of dead people? Yes. Are these people who were pushed away from their lands? Yes, they are told not to tell you that. And if you don't know that, you don't know that Netanyahu is a criminal that are doing bad things. They don't want to report that Netanyahu said it's okay to continue paying Hamas. They don't want to tell you that there may be other reasons why Netanyahu took 12 to 14 hours to get to the people on the Gaza border. Why? These were progressive people that don't think like these are people who want a two-state solution. The people who got massacred by the Hamas, a lot of these people were people who want a two-state solution, who want a real liberal and progressive Israel. So you wonder why it took Netanyahu so long to get there. He wanted maximal damage to some of his own people that are a bit more progressive than he was. This isn't a question that I'm asking. All you have to do is read objective newspapers from across the world, not just the New York Times, not just the Washington Post, right? I'm not just talking Al Jazeera. I'm talking Harek and others, including Jewish newspapers. So, just like I said, our media tries to create a narrative and it keeps us fairly uninformed. And when a lot of things are happening throughout the world, we ask the question, why is it that this is happening? Why is it that they don't like us? Why all these things? And it comes because you get up in your morning, we get up in the morning, somebody get their cup of coffee, and they drag their Houston Chronicle or their New York Times or their Washington Post, not realizing that all these newspapers, they have a particular bias to maintain a particular status quo. And we're all misinformed as all of this is occurring, and it creates friction among ourselves because we're so ill-informed. By design, not accidental, but by design. When you have a memo telling folks how and what they can say in their report, and including that they should lie in their report, lie by omission or lie by changing words, that's what it's all about. I'll continue this after I speak to Donald. Come on in, Brother Donald.
Hey, good morning, Alberto. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Let me ask you a question. Did you ever play Cowboys and Indians when you was a little kid?
Well, not really. I'm from Panama. The Cowboy and Indian wasn't a thing.
Y'all didn't watch TV shows?
Oh, yeah, we watched TV shows. But remember, the world. Here it is, Donald. Let me just show you something about what you're saying now. Remember, we got TV shows from Argentina. from Mexico and all these other places. So we had a whole lot of different things to watch on TV. Ana del Aire, okay, the soap opera.
Did you watch Zorro or anything of that type?
I did watch Zorro in Spanish, yes.
Okay. Well, you know what you need to do is for us to understand, you need to go give the white hats to one and the Indian feathers to the other, or make one of them Zorro and the other one's the bad people. Because that's the way we're trained to think. We're not trained to see anything past what we're indoctrinated with.
Amen. Amen.
Indians back, cowboys, Indians. So you didn't have a Red Ryder growing up?
No, sir.
A BB gun? Nothing. How about a slingshot?
I had a slingshot. I did have play guns made of plastic.
I don't know, but I'm talking about something you could do damage with. So did you ever take that slingshot and knock a window out or try to hit a bird or anything of that nature?
No, but I did worse things. I built rockets that exploded.
Exactly. And that's why you got to play the switch game, because you could have hurt yourself. So you went to get a degree to engineer to learn how to make it better. But anyway, that's the way we're indoctrinated. Is this is good guy, this is bad guy. Who shot the rockets to Israel? Iran?
Say that again? Who
shot the rockets at it? Yeah, who was shooting at Israel just the other day?
That was Iran, yeah.
Okay, so why should we project our Western civilization on those people if those people are happy? Maybe their women want to be however they want to be. Maybe they want to be left alone. See, what happens with Americans is we try to shove our ideas down everybody else's throat. I've seen it when I've gone to every other place in the world, and I'm not like that. So the people look at me and they go, hold on. You're white. You're tall. Why are you not telling me what to do or everything else? Hey, if you want to poop in a hole in the ground, I don't care. I guess that's where I got to go because I'm in your land. If you want to eat just this, I guess that's all there is to eat. You don't have to project your ideologies and shove it down everybody's throat, because if you do, you're going to get conflict. And that's all I got to say.
But wait, don't you leave yet, because I want to make, because here's the thing. You just earned some additional respect from me from understanding a very important concept. I want to make a slight modification. You say that we like to go over there and change cultures. It's not that we want to go over there and change cultures. We don't give a damn about the freedom of women in Pakistan or anywhere else. By the way, Pakistan has had a woman leader. We haven't yet. India has had a woman leader. We haven't yet. The UK has had a woman leader. Argentina, Chile, all these places have had women leaders. We haven't yet. But that said, we don't give a damn about those other cultures at all. What we give a damn about is having that culture change enough to accept us so that we can then go and take the resources. I mean, take a look at Iran. I don't know if you listened yesterday, but when I talked about the reason the Shah was placed into power is after we got rid of Moshe Roshadi, I can't remember his name, because he asked to audit the books of the oil companies who were giving them 16%, but not even 16% because they were ripping off the oil. When he attempted to open the books, they said no, he nationalized. British and America decided to take him out. So let's understand that we don't really care about going into somebody else's culture. All we care about is having them accept us, our exploitation. And I mean, this is not even up for debate. Just look at what we do around the world, right? We support more dictators than anybody else. We love Ferdinand Marcos of Philippines. We love Baby Doc. All these guys are people we supported, you know. So, you know, you hit a very important point. I just want to add that corollary as that we're not trying to change their cultures. If their cultures allow us to go in and exploit, we're fine with their cultures. If their culture prevents us from exploiting, then that's an issue. So,
Time to change dictators. That's what we do. time to change the dictator, correct?
There you go. Amen.
That's what America does.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Talk to you later, man. Take it easy. Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. You too, sir. Let's go to Sister Alistair. Come on in, sis.
Hey, good morning, brother.
Good morning.
We could, you know, yes, are we indoctrinated into believing certain things? Absolutely. But when we support independent media and use common sense thinking and apply it in our daily lives, we break free from those chains of indoctrination. Indoctrination might not be right. It might be right. Some of it might be good. Some of it might not be good. But when we can use logic and independent thinking and all of that, we reach a level of understanding and wisdom, and that's where power lies. And they don't, the capital they don't want us to have that.
I love what you just said, and you're so right. And you know, I think I probably mentioned that in one of my books, that indoctrination is not inherently a bad thing, right? Indoctrination can keep structure, etc., if it's done correct, right? Like, there's no reason why you have to eat with a knife and a fork and that. I mean, by us adopting certain rules, we keep certain things, you know, certain levels of cleanliness, all of that can be considered indoctrination on the way you do things. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. You are absolutely right. All dictators aren't bad. When we had Omar Torrijos Herrera in Panama, that's when the Bayano got built and a whole lot of other good things that our supposedly non-dictatorial government never did or accomplished for the country. And this was a guy who singularly wanted to do good for the people, right? So when you take a look at so I agree with you wholehearted, Miss Alistair, that is how, you know, good indoctrination is good. The problem is when you have bad indoctrination. And I think right now, well, actually, since our inception, we have had so many bouts with bad indoctrination that it has really, really harmed us. Anything else, Alistair, before I continue?
Nope, all good. Thank you for letting me talk.
Absolutely. Thank you so kindly for calling in, sis. All right?
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Anyway, folks, you know, I did once have to give out the telephone number before these calls came in. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. Extension 2 to speak right away. 713-526-5738. But yes, folks, so as I mentioned before, now the New York Times sent out this memo. They don't want you to use words like slaughter or massacre for what Netanyahu and the IDF is doing to Palestinians, right? But guess where there's no complaints? When you talk about the Palestinians or Hamas slaughtering Israelis, etc., there's no objection to framing it in that manner, in that direction. Look, At some point in time, I don't expect the mainstream media to be objective anytime soon. And that's not to say these guys don't have great reporters, because they do. In fact, a lot of what we report is in fact coming from some of these great reporters at the New York Times, Washington Post. And the reason why is these guys have the money to throw people in Gaza and to throw people otherwise. The good thing with reporters today is that they're not only reporting to the newspaper, but they have Twitter feeds and they have direct contact with people. I get information from some of the folks on a couple of folks at MSNBC who can't say certain things on air, but have no problem putting it in a direct message when they say, "Can you believe this?" or whatever. I remember a particular time during the stuff in Michigan, when they were having in Wisconsin, when they were having the police riots, et cetera, I wrote a piece about one reporter doing a great job with what he did. And I wrote the article up, put it, it goes through Twitter, and he saw, I tagged him and he saw it and he wrote back to me and he said, it's amazing the take that you took on what I said on air, because it was what I meant, but look at how Fox News spun it. And I just had a laugh out of it, you know. But I mean, he didn't say that on air, but he said, sent it to me, right? But so anyhow, reporters, these organizations have great reporters. Unfortunately, they're controlled by how the producers tell them what and what they cannot say. Let's go to Derek. Come on in, Derek.
Hey, good morning, Alberto. Hey, man.
Good morning, thank you for, brother.
Good morning to you. Thank you for that article, man, because it is definitely a manifest truth that could, for as long as I can remember, whenever the newspapers or dirt sheets in America would come out, the first thing they say, you never hear about Christian terrorists, Christian bandits, or Jewish terrorists, Jewish bandits. But every time anything come up about Islam, you see Islamic terrorists, Islamic, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, it is a manifest truth of what you're saying this morning. And thank you so much for doing it.
Let me give you another example, right? Remember earlier in speaking to Spike, I told Spike what we mustn't do as a people is hold a lot of our brothers and sisters that are misinformed, hold them accountable while they don't know. You hold them accountable when the truth is told and they decide to ignore. It is like how people look at certain groups of people and immediately see them as either thugs or criminals or potential criminals, right? It is how the reporting is done. If you watch your TV, watch the news today and watch the people who would have shot somebody, stabbed somebody, or stole something, right? You look at TV today, folks, and tell me if, from a racial standpoint, how it looks. And then at the same time, go look at the docket as far as what people are committing crimes in the city and in the state.
Right.
It looks nothing like it does on TV. But
that's right.
If you're watching the news on TV, you will think that crime has a very a pigmentation, either a brown or black pigmentation is what. And why is it that case? Because the producers, that's what they put out. And people say, well, maybe if you integrate the newsroom, that will change. That doesn't change either. And there's a reason it doesn't change. Sure, it's the same reason why black cops are harder on black people, black people and Latino people. Same reason why Latino cops are harder on black people and Latino people. It's the culture. It's the culture. Yeah. And so what I try to do here as well is to tell folks, let's not believe just what we see. Let's start integrating and we'll start to see how things really are. Thank you, Derek. My phones are picking up here at the end.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, brother. Let's go to Tag. Come on in, Tag.
Morning, Egberto. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my brother. Talk to me.
Just a quick observation this morning. Have you considered all the KISS method to politics?
Keep it simple, stupid. Yes, and yeah. I would like, and where I'm not doing that, I depend on folks to tell me to do that.
Well, not necessarily you. I think it's very indicative of the way the other side thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the problems are from the other side, just to keep it simple, is just to blame everything on Biden and the Democrats.
Right.
All the problems are because of that. And when you say, no, it really isn't about Biden, it's about corporate greed. Oh, no, it's not. We're keeping it simple. It's all about Democrats and Biden. So that's been kind of my observation today.
Well, you know, and the thing about it is we got to break through that to show that, hey, this is what we got. this is what you will get. The good thing about it is both of them have been president for 4 years, right? So we can actually do an apples to apples comparison. And it's not hard at all. And what we need is more people sensibly doing that. And there are a lot of memes out there that starting to do that. And we'll do that. And we'll make those memes simple enough that people can really do the comparison. But anything else, Tag, before I jump to Brian?
Well, I just like the meme about being Stormy Monday. Had you seen that one?
I haven't, but I'm going to look for it. All right. Have a good one, brother.
See you soon. Have a good day.
You too, sir. All right, Tag. Brian, give me about 35 seconds.
Yeah, you know who Thomas Sowell is?
Of course I know who Thomas... No, I know Thomas Sowell. He's not a communist. He's a buffoon, but go ahead.
No, he was a communist, and he changed his mind because he saw what the communists did. Okay, my wife is from Beijing, China. She was a communist. Okay. We got her out. Dennis Prager, you know him, right? He's not a buffoon either.
Prager University is one of the best liars out there, but I love to watch his stuff.
Okay, yeah. He offered $10,000 to any left-wing person, commentator, talk show host that would debate Thomas Sowell. No one up on it.
I would debate Thomas Sowell. But go ahead and you set it up. I'll do it. Thank you, Brian. Gotta go. I will debate Thomas Sowell. No, you set it up. I will. No, I don't have time to deal with him. But if somebody wants to set it up and he comes, I will. No problem. Thank you, Brian. Gotta go. All right, let's go ahead and go to my great guys in the studio.
Well, it looks like the tin cans and string have held up for another day. Now, we've got something really fun coming up tomorrow. We're going to do a live broadcast with R&R at Under the Volcano starting at 1 o'clock. Stuart and I will be out there holding the tin cans and string up along, and they're going to have the fun. We're going to do the work. So join us for that, the live broadcast, and maybe come out to Under the Volcano and meet them in person. So that's all I got. Jack, what you got?
Yeah, Mozadiq was a democratically elected president of Iran. Yes. We love democracy so much, we replaced him with the Shah who repressed the people.
You nailed it, brother. Look, thank you very much for that, Jack. Folks, look, I want to first thank you guys for your ears. I want to thank you for your information. Email me at kpft@politicsdoneright.com, kpft@politicsdoneright.com. If you agree, disagree, want me to cover whatever it is, we've got you back. Don't forget to go to politicsdoneright.com/newsletter. That's where we have all the topics we didn't cover that we were supposed to cover. politicsdoneright.com/newsletter. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right, and you guys know how I end this baby. I am what? Out. We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.